Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This character on the ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20, jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped, it is intercepted by character at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Adam Carriker on The Ticket. That's right. I decided to show up for work today because I decided not to last week. We had a spring break. Family and I went to good old Steamboat, Colorado. I did not break my neck, so I considered it a success. I did get sunburned, however. That felt weird. The family had a blast. Our six-year-old Jordan is now skiing on her own. She does not need mom to hold her. It kills my back to bend over and try to hold her while she's skiing and guide her. So mom always did it, okay? And she's now skiing on her own. We got 2 8-year-old twins that can ski blacks. That's right. They skied blacks. It wasn't on purpose. We took the wrong way down, but they did it. Okay, I can ski blacks. I've been able to actually, with as horrifically horrible as my knee and ankle is, I've actually been able to ski blacks and double blacks for, a few years. I had a buddy of mine who tried to kill me a few years ago. Chris, how you doing, my friend? He's like, hey, Adam. And he's the best skier I've ever seen in person in my life. One of the first things he told me when we first met, we actually met him out in D.C. We lived on a cul-de-sac. There were 10 houses. And of the three of the 10 houses there, we all had Nebraska ties. It was crazy. He goes, but hey, Adam, he grew up in Colorado, but had significantly Nebraska ties. He goes, we've taken helicopters to the top of the mountains out in the middle of freaking nowhere. Like those Warren Miller ski videos, if you ever saw those when you were growing up. And he's like, we used to ski down. And that's just absurd to me. So, of course, the first time we go to Steamboat, which is where they moved to. Okay, because we tend to go there for spring break and Christmas breaks because it's a lot of fun. Chris is like, hey, follow me. I was like, dude, don't kill me. He's like, I won't. So the first thing he does, he takes me out in the middle of nowhere. Like, he just keeps going off into the backcountry. And I'll be honest with you, I trusted him. I was an idiot. I thought he had to go to the bathroom. Like, I'm like, all right, he's just looking for a spot to go. And then we're going to turn around and we're going to join the rest of humanity on the rest of the mountain. Nope. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's around. Trees everywhere. I don't even know how I was going to turn around because I thought he was going to go to the bathroom. And then we were going to turn around, which was not the case. He looks at me and he goes, all right, I'll see you at the bottom. And he just starts skiing through, I don't know what. It was steep. There was like 5 feet maybe between the trees. Guys, I'm 6.5 foot tall. And I'm just standing there watching him. And I'm like, first of all, you suck. Why did you do this to me? After my last knee surgery, he's actually the guy that drove me home from the hospital. So he saw. And at that point in time, I was only a year or two removed from being cleared from having 6 consecutive knee surgeries. He drove me home from my 6th knee surgery at that point in time. This was about a decade ago. I was so mad and helpless. There's nothing I could do. And I even thought about, what if I just turn around and go back the way we came? Well, I didn't know Steamboat. I didn't know how to get back. I was like, well, you suck. I'm going to see if I die here. So I did go down the mountain incredibly slowly. I think it took him about 10 seconds to do what it took me 20 minutes to do. I finally caught up with him. He looked at me and he goes, my bad. And then he just skied on. I'm like, you. So anyways, he on Blues, I can keep up with him. The difference is he can ski like a double black mogul as fast as he can ski a blue. I cannot do that. So anyways, I digress. The twins ended up skiing blacks on accident, but they did just fine. They had a blast. My daughter, Trinity, who's 11, can ski and snowboard blacks. My 12-year-old daughter, Addison, wants nothing to do with snowboarding in any way, shape, or form. Her and her sister, Trinity, very opposite personalities, but she loves to ski. Jacob, he hates skiing. He doesn't like it at all. He acts like it's torture, but it is what it is. All right, so we're back. Decided to show up to work today. Rico's going to join me. We're going to talk men's basketball, women's basketball. Hoiberg got an extension. Coach Williams got an extension. Okay, a lot of things to talk about. But the biggest question I got for Rico is, did you miss me, my friend? How are you, and did you miss me?
I am fantastic, and yeah, I mean, I kind of missed you, I guess. You know, it wasn't liar. Too crazy. You know,
you liar.
No, I was like, oh man, there's no character on Monday or Friday. It was heartbreaking. I was like, I hope he's doing well, man. I really hope he's doing.
You didn't think about me once. All right, first of all, I love the hat. It's a great hat. Thanks. All right, man. So, men's basketball, obviously, it does not end the way that we wanted. Okay, and it was interesting because I watched A&M play Houston yesterday. Now I'm like interested in Texas A&M basketball. Then they lost, so I don't care anymore. But they played Houston down to the wire. Now, they actually played Houston the regular season, lost by 4 points, overtime yesterday. Okay, they had a buzzer-beating shot to take the game to overtime yesterday and then lost by 5 to Houston. But I had to look up something because coming into our game versus A&M, and they outplayed us, they were the better team, not making excuses, but they were the 343rd best three-point shooting team in the country before they played us on Friday night. Okay, at one point, they were 12 of 20. Then they finished 13 of 23 from three-point land versus us. Against Houston, okay, they were mortals, and they shot 8 for 23. Now, here's what's interesting. They were the better team. They kicked our butts. They outplayed us. No excuses being made here. But they made 5 more three-point shots, okay, versus Houston than they did Nebraska. That's 15 points. Nebraska lost 98 to 83, which is 15 points. So my question is, like, if we were to play A&M again, they're the better team right now. I'm not making excuses. What I'm saying is, do you think they'd make that many amount of three-pointers again? And how different do you think the game could potentially look?
I don't think that they would make the same amount of three-pointers again. This team, you know, we were saying it before that they're not the greatest shooting team. I mean, they shoot like, what is it, 28% from three for the whole season. Like, they're not the greatest shooting team, but they got hot when they needed to. They have had games where they've shot like that before, but for the most part this season, they didn't shoot the three lights out like they did on Friday. But the biggest difference with Texas A&M and Nebraska is the physicality. Texas A&M is the best offensive rebounding team in the nation. Mm-hmm. Nebraska, when they get blown out, where do they suffer the most? Offensive rebounds. They didn't body up Texas A&M like they should have. They were playing timid. Casey Tominaga, although he started off hot, cooled off immensely towards the middle of the game and then got a couple points towards the end of the game. But it just wasn't – it was a bad day to have a bad day for Nebraska in terms of shooting. That's really all it was, because Texas A&M, you know, we knew they were going to be physical. We knew they were going to grab rebounds. We knew that if they missed shots, they were more than likely going to get their own board and either put it back up or reset their offense and get back into things. We were not expecting them to shoot the lights out like they did. And when you can shoot like that while also grabbing your own misses, I mean, it's a really hard team to defeat. And Nebraska kind of ran into a buzzsaw of Texas A&M. But people forget, this Texas A&M squad was picked to finish first in the SEC at the beginning of the season. They were a preseason top 25 team. They might have been top 10. I was talking to Nick off air earlier. They were a preseason top 25 team. This was projected to be a really good Texas A&M team, and they ended up making the tournament and you know, showing how good they can be against a solid Nebraska team.
You could see how talented they were. You could see how explosive A&M, especially at the guard position, was. So A&M, one person had described them to me as the hottest team in the country. They had won 5 of their last 6 games. And you think about Nebraska, and I'm not the first one to point this out. I'm probably about the 1 millionth, but we give up 58 points in the second half to Illinois, 58 points in the first half to A&M. That's really bad defense. That's 116 points in what is not a 48-minute game. It's only 40 minutes in college basketball. So we did not play good defense. Okay. They are explosive at the guard position, and we had a hard time keeping up with that. I will maintain that they got hot. I will also maintain that our defense had to back off a little bit because we couldn't stop them from going to the hoop. Even when we backed off, it didn't matter very much, which left them more open for the three-pointers. Then they got hot. Okay, so for me, I wanted to see how A&M did against Houston. Okay, and you're right. They are much more talented than I think a lot of people realize. They're very explosive, got a lot of ability, well-coached. Their coach cracked me up in his first interview. He was like, because that's back when we were scoring, they were scoring. It was actually like, it was electrifying to start the first 10 to 15 minutes of the game. And then we finished the half 1-13. And I think at halftime, they were shooting like almost 66% from three-point range. And so then there was a little bit of separation at halftime. But their coach was hilarious. He was like almost like in bright lights during his interview on TV. Like he didn't know what to say. And it was kind of funny to me. And then even when they were up by like double digits and like 15, he was still like would only talk about what they need to do better, which is true coach form right there.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. But anyways, I digress. All right. So let's talk about Keisei Tominaga, what he has meant. And it's been talked about by some other folks, what he has meant to this program. And, you know, I was kind of wondering why Fred took him out when he did. And because when he came back in, he wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. We kind of lost our momentum in scoring. Do you think Fred should have left him in? And I know this is hindsight's 2020 and all that. Should he have left him in? And then what do you think about Keisei Tominaga here at Nebraska as he finishes his career?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, hindsight's 2020. He definitely should have. He started the game hot. I think at that point, maybe he had taken a shot that I don't remember exactly why he took him out or what the reason. Maybe he had taken a shot that he probably wasn't supposed to take, maybe a deeper three than was probably planned or something, because there have been a couple of times where he's, you know, heat check at a time where you're just like, no, you don't need to do that right now. Like, let's continue to run the offense. It might have been something like that. But at the same time, he was hot to start the game. He was on fire to start the game. And like you said, they're going back and forth, hitting threes, getting buckets. And it seemed like, you know, it was going to be a track meet of a basketball game. And you take him out, he comes back in, and I think he airballed his first three. And after that, I was like, okay, this is not going to be a pretty sight after that. I think that Keisei's impact on this men's basketball program has just been, you know, like a light in the darkness, a spark at the perfect time for Nebraska men's basketball. Yes, they, you know, were struggling even when he was on the team, but he, you know, gets hot at a time towards the end of the season to build momentum going into this season. And as this season goes on, he's preseason, you know, all Big Ten, maybe doesn't have the type of season that everybody hoped or expected, but he did enough to help lead this program to its first NCAA tournament in 10 years. So I think his impact, although maybe not statistically the greatest, his, you know, charisma, his antics, his three-point shooting ability was just, yeah, exactly, the hands on the face. Like, all of that was just at a perfect time for Nebraska men's basketball to hopefully build for the future. So, again, although his stats probably weren't, you know, when people talk about Keisei Tominaga being a legend, there's this Barstool Illini account that's, you know, saying he didn't do anything and all. I'm like, yeah, stats aren't there, but you have to take into account what he did on the court and how he galvanized an entire state to get behind this team and this the Japanese Steph Curry, and how they, you know, Nebraska fans travel well, but taking over the FedEx Forum and having it mostly Nebraska red. Is something that's going to be Keisei's lasting impact on Nebraska as long as the basketball team continues to ascend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
He gave us a face to the program. He gave us something that was unique. He gave us someone that people could rally behind. And it's interesting because my family loves watching America's Got Talent. And I feel bad because I forget her name. She was actually the runner-up. I think a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, she was a magician, a young girl. And when the trick would work, she looked as surprised as anybody else that it worked. That's how I feel about K-State. When he makes some of those shots, he looks as surprised as anybody else that they actually went in. But he was kind of a face that when you've got somebody that people recognize and people are talking about, it brings more to the program. And it, like you said, it galvanizes a fan base and helps bring people together. I'm going to be rooting for him in the NBA. I can't wait to see what he does there or in his professional career past his college basketball career, which is now complete. But I thought he was entertaining. I thought he was someone that gave a face to the program, which sometimes can be just as important as anything else, because high tide raises all ships. And he was kind of the high tide that helped contribute to raising all the ships, because he kind of brought everyone together. All right, so both the men and women make it to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2014. As we know, the women won their first round matchup for the first time since 2014. All right, the men end the season at 23-1. Now they are going to lose Josiah Alec, Keisei Tominaga, Boogie Coleman for sure. So for you, what are they looking for in the transfer portal? What is next for them as we – I know it's like the season just ended, but I immediately, that's just how I was. I'd always take a day after a season ended, and then I was always preparing for the next. So that's just kind of my mentality. So in your mind, what are they looking for in the transfer portal? What do they need? What's next? What are your thoughts way too early on going into next Nebraska basketball season?
I mean, first things first is you got to re-recruit your roster and make sure that the core of your roster sticks around. Before we came on, actually, during the captain show, Ramel Lloyd Jr. Entered the transfer portal. So the he's 6'6". I believe that's how tall he is. Point guard out of Sierra Canyon. 2 years here at Nebraska. Didn't see the floor at all. Three-star enters the transfer portal. We'll see where he ends up. But that was a guy that I thought, you know, after his first year, after he redshirted, that was the year. There were a bunch of injuries. I thought maybe he'd get put in, but they decided to keep his redshirt. I thought this year was going to be the year that, you know, he took over the reins at point guard, but it just wasn't in the cards. So now he's going to look for a new home. We wish him all the best. But Nebraska, first things first, is keep the core around. Make sure that you keep Rink Mass. Make sure you keep Bryce Williams, Juwan Gary, Jamarcus Lawrence. Like, you have to make sure that those guys that played a massive impact on your team stick around and you're able to, you know, put some more pieces around them next season so you don't have to rebuild your entire roster like Fred's had to do multiple times during his tenure here at Nebraska. But to me, it's potentially probably looking for a point guard. I think Jamarcus coming off the bench might be his best role, but you're going to need a true point guard. I don't know if that's Aaron Ulis, the transfer from Iowa who had to sit out this season due to the gambling thing that he had at Iowa. I don't know. It's like a plea deal or something along those lines that he had with Iowa before coming into Nebraska. I don't know if he's going to be your point guard going forward. I don't know if Bryce Williams will be that point forward that he was able to, all those skills he was able to provide as the season went on this year. But that would be my main concern is going and getting somebody who will be able to run your offense efficiently. And then after that, probably a big, like an actual big. I understand Rink Mast is playing that center position for you, and he plays it really well in terms of kind of initiating the offense from the top of the key and passing really well, kind of like what Derek Walker was doing. But he can stretch the floor out, shoot the three, hit the mid-range, has that beautiful hook shot. I think a presence in the middle to alter shots, block shots potentially, is going to be something that will go a long way for Nebraska, because their defense was solid this year. The defense was really good this year until, you know, you go up against a very physical quick athletic team like Texas A&M, and it seems like they're just blowing past your guards every single time, and your bigs don't offer much protection at the rim. I think those two spots, a true point guard and a rim protecting big, might be something that Nebraska's gonna, I would hope they would look into.
It's funny, I was about to say, so basically the two things that we really needed on Friday night, we needed help at the guard position, and then we needed more of a presence in the middle, and basically it'll just help us be more physical, especially like, and you pointed it out earlier, when Nebraska has struggled this year, it's been two things to me. Number one, they don't always bring the same energy to every single game. And I'm not saying they didn't bring that on Friday, but how do you have some of the wins we have this year and then some of the losses that we have this year? I mean, you don't get slower, less athletic. You just play slower and less explosive because you're not bringing the same energy. So a more consistent energy day in and day out, you shouldn't have to always get it from the fans of Pinnacle Bank Arena, as awesome as that atmosphere is, but just being more physical in general at the guard position, down low, rebounding. When someone hits you in the mouth, you hit them back in a basketball sense, so to speak. Or if you need Dennis Rodman, if you need Dennis Rodman to kick someone in the balls, hey, bring in that guy too. I was that guy in high school. I was not the scorer. I was the rebounder. You could put me on anybody, I'd guard him. And if you needed someone to hack the crap out of somebody, I was your guy. Like, that was me. You need a Horace Grant. He wasn't quite Dennis Rodman, like from a antics standpoint, or a Dennis Rodman, or whatever the case may be. You need those guys that play those roles as well. In hockey, you need the brutes. You need the guys that are going to protect everyone else. You ever seen Mighty Ducks? I mean, come on, you got the Bash Brothers in here. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if we need the Bash Brothers on the basketball court, but we need someone who brings that physical mindset more consistently. And that reverberates throughout the team. What's up?
I mean, you got five fouls. You might as well use them.
Dude, okay. So I coached this kid, and he'd never played basketball before. He was a wrestler and the most physical kid we had on the football team. I told my wife, I said, watch, Kai's going to foul out before halftime. He's going to. He's so aggressive. He doesn't know basketball. He had four fouls in the first 5 minutes. And so I sat him down. It's 20-minute half. So I sat him down for 10 minutes, and I could see he was getting pissed. And I'm like, if I put him in, he's done at halftime. I put him in. 30 seconds later, he got his fifth foul. But I'll tell you what, the other team was sure intimidated as crap with this little elementary school kid, man. It reverberated throughout our team, and it reverberated throughout their team, and we pulled away in the second half. But I digress. I want to give a shout-out real quick to a couple of the other Nebraska teams, Nebraska softball, Rico Sporting the Hat. If you're only listening to us, you can't see it. Hey, snow place like Nebraska, right? They played in the snow this weekend. Nebraska baseball. Yeah, dude, that was awesome.
It was very cold.
And I know Jordy Ball's hurt, but in case people forgot, Nebraska softball is doing really, really well. So keep supporting the team, following the team. Nebraska baseball has now won 7 in a row, 17-5 on the season. Okay, when it comes to overall series, they're undefeated on the year. I think it's either 4-0 or 5-0 when it comes to series record within those series. So I want to give a shout out to those other Nebraska teams as well. In a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by a Husker legend, Mr. Steve Warren. So tune in for that. But real quick, all right, the women and the season 23-12. All right, now they're going to be losing. By the way, I'm so glad. Now, Caitlin Clark said more people are excited about the women's tournament than the men's tournament. That's debatable. What I love is that people are as excited as they are. Whatever that level may be, it's more than it's ever been for the women's basketball and the women's basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. Okay, now they're going to lose Jazz Shelley, Annie Stewart, Maddie Kroll, and Darian White for sure. Now, this is probably the best recruiting class in the Amy Williams era on deck. We got two phenomenal freshmen. Alexis Markowski is going to be back. Okay, we got some players coming in that are going to be fun to watch. What are your expectations? Now, Amy Williams gets an extension, okay, through 28 and 29, okay? And the Husker coach, it was a $950,000 extension through next season. She will rank about 7th in the Big Ten Conference as far as overall payment. Hoiberg received a two-year contract extension through 2028-29 and a raise to $4.25 million annually beginning April 1st. Well-deserved, in my opinion. No need to debate that. I'm glad it happened. Okay, I will say this. When I heard about the Amy Williams one, and nobody's a bigger fan of the women's basketball program than I am, you think back to the lawsuit and whatnot, and it might be one of those things where obviously, you know, you want the right things to happen, but obviously the university has a ton of confidence in Amy Williams and Fred Hoiberg going forward. So you love to see that. Talk to me about, before we head to break and then we bring on Steve Warren, talk to me about the women's basketball program going into next season. They do beat A&M on Friday. They built a lead. A&M fought back, and then they ended up winning 61-59. They played a very tough Oregon State team yesterday on Sunday, okay? And I thought they played well. I think Oregon State's a really good good basketball team. So kudos to Oregon State playing at home. What are your thoughts on Nebraska women's basketball as they start to head into next season?
I think the women are in a very good spot. They kind of ran into a Reagan Beers buzzsaw. The Oregon State big, she just shut it down low. Just wouldn't. Alexis Markowski couldn't get to her favorite move. Natalie Potts couldn't get to any of the moves. They were both getting blocked left and right by the bigs for Oregon State. So when Nebraska couldn't get their inside game going, it really shut down their 3-point shot. And that's kind of what they do, is they like to go inside out and feed the post. And then I believe Nebraska has a very good winning record when Alexis Markowski has 4 or more assists in a game. But they, I think in the first half, they had, at one point, they had one assist on all of their made baskets, and Oregon State had an assist on every single one of their made baskets. They were passing it a lot better, moving without the ball. But Nebraska women's basketball is in a very good spot. They're losing some key pieces, and it's going to be tough going forward without the scoring and assisted, just everything ability of Jazz Shelley. But bringing in Britt Prince, a player of her caliber and what she can do, is going to be massive for them. They're going to need to find. I like Alexis Markowski and I like Natalie Potts, but one of them is going to have to become a bigger defensive presence in the paint, because right now when teams go into the paint, if they have somebody who's slightly taller or around the same size as Markowski or Potts, it seems like they're feasting a little bit in the paint. So if they can find somebody in there that can, you know, get the hands up, block a couple shots, that's going to be big for them. But I like the pieces that they have returning. We'll see if anybody enters the transfer portal for them, or if they go into the transfer portal and decide to bring somebody in. But right now, the core that they have, I think is solid enough to have, you know, back-to-back appearances in the NCAA tournament.
I think they're in
injuries.
Yeah, of course, always. I think they're in as good a spot, maybe better than even the men's program. And a lot of that has to do with not only who they have coming back, they got a lot of youth coming back, they got a lot of good players coming in. And it was interesting when Beers went out on Sunday, I was like, all right, here's our chance to make the run, because she had 4 fouls. And I wanted Markowski to go at her. Go at her. I know she's like 3,000 feet taller than her. Go at her. If your eyes hit her in the armpit, so what? Get that 5th foul. She kept fading away. And as a guy who is a tall football player at 6'6", I was still a fat guard in basketball, okay? But they always put me down low. Again, I was the Horace Grant, Dennis Rodman, so I understand what it's like to go against taller people. You got to be able to go to and through people and draw that foul. But Oregon State actually made their biggest run in the fourth quarter when she was out. They just started hitting threes. That was the difference. They just caught on fire to the threes. I was like, all right, we can go at her. All right, she's out. Great. Now we can go in the middle. And then they caught fire. So kudos to Oregon State. I agree with everything you said about Nebraska women's basketball. Okay. And Bruce Davis, I just said in a comment, I believe it's on YouTube, I'm so proud of men's and women's basketball this season. Couldn't agree more. I don't think I've ever been more excited to talk about a non-football offseason sports-wise than and Mark Manning and wrestling. And I'm going to mention them at the end of the show. I actually texted with Coach Manning after Nationals this weekend. He's very proud of what they were able to do. 5 All-Americans. I think it's their 9th top 10 finish in the past 10 years. I don't think people realize how hard that is. One fan had the audacity to tweet me that Nebraska wrestling underperformed this past weekend. My friend, educate yourself just a little to a whole lot, a bit of more before you say things like that to me, or I will retweet you and expose you to the world next time. Okay. So I got nothing but love for them. And actually, Vince Watson, does Mark Manning get a raise? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I got to educate myself more on his current contract, but with the little knowledge that I have about his contract, but the knowledge I have about his success, the man should get a raise every year because he does a great job. Okay. But we're going to take a break. We'll come back with Steve Warren, but I forgot to mention it so far, but as always, sending your questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, and or otherwise to 402-464-5685. That's 402-464-5685. I will read your comments on air and answer your questions as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Husker legend Steve Warren right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC supply in-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. at forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.